Okay, so here we are. So I'm opening the Danville Planning Commission meeting Thursday, September 25th. It is officially 7:37, and in attendance, it's myself, Allison Despathy, Judy Corso, Dom Britton, Vince Foy, and Greg Pryor. So we are all here and ready to go. So first off, changes to the agenda. Anybody there?
Nope.
Okay. And I was going to actually ask Judy. I didn't have a chance to reach out to you. Did you have a chance to put a memo together?
I did.
Okay, perfect. So we'll keep that on there. Awesome. Okay, great. So we'll keep that on there and see what we get to otherwise, and then we can reevaluate. So we're all good on that? No changes?
I'm sorry, the what memo?
It's on here. It was from last time, the review of Planning Commission memo to MVDA regarding the future land use maps that Judy was going to put together for us to review. And I just forgot to confirm with her via email if she was good to go. So it sounds like we are, so we'll keep it on. Okay. And then we've got a review and acceptance of our August 28th meeting minutes. And I think we've all seen them, but then it sounded like, Greg, you maybe had a shift.
Judy made a request as into why something was highlighted in yellow, and it was I was waiting to get names for the motions from the audio.
Okay.
So those sections are modified. Does that explain the yellow? I don't have the yellow anymore.
Okay.
It was Vince Foy made a recommendation, and David Kyle made a recommendation. So Vince Foy for making the motion for your first yellow, and then David Kyle in the wording for allowing Allison to follow up notes with the floodwater changes.
Yeah. Okay.
So no major, just adding the names of who actually made the motion.
Once you had the recording, perfect. Yeah. That sounds good to me. How about anyone else? Anything else lingering?
Guys did get two versions of the minutes. One had the correspondence indexed at the bottom, and one was buried in the middle. Mm-hmm. I personally think towards the bottom, it makes the minutes themselves much easier.
I don't have a preference, but that makes sense to me, unless people feel otherwise. Mm-hmm. We're good?
Cool.
Okay. So we'll go with that version for the final? Okay. And any other adjustments or changes there? Okay, so all in consensus for accepting the August minutes.
As amended.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, and no public comment, obviously, unless you guys have
They're
something.
All
They're all downstairs involved.
Downstairs.
It's actually a good number.
Dude, it's good to see people out.
Yeah, definitely. That was a lot. Okay, so there were a few things that had come up. We have, and I guess we'll get into it. I plugged in here. Let's see. We just have to look at one other section that Tessa from DEC, from Department of Environmental Conservation, got back to me. And she looked at what we had approved for the compliance with the FEMA flood plan. And so there was one other thing that was sort of like a last minute, we should probably do this. So I do have that with me, if we can do that, if we can take a peek at that, and if that's acceptable to do in our administrative check-in, I feel like it should be okay to do that.
So this is just an addition to what we changed, changes we adopted last time?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So there was one other section for us to look at, if that sounds okay to you guys.
Fine with me.
Okay. So let me grab that, and I was planning on being able to do it on the big one like we did last time. Oh, good. You found us. Hello, David. Okay. So David Kyle is now also joining us. There's a seat here. We're kind of echoey. Okay. So I'm just going to show you guys the language. It was pretty straightforward. There were just two quick changes. David, just so you know, we're just jumping into two minor adjustments to be considered for the zoning bylaw update that we were working on last time. So just wanted to share this with you guys.
Okay. What section is it in?
So the section would be The first one is 305.7. There was just an addition she was suggesting just to make sure that we get the, you know, acceptance and we're compliant. So let me just get to that one. And sorry, I don't have the big screen to do it on. Okay, so basically it was this here. It was about the variance, and I can pass this around. I'll also read it to you. It's an addition to 305.7, and we had added the statute in there last time, which you guys had already accepted. And then in the green, you can see that she suggested, based on the model bylaw language, that we put any variance issued in the flood hazard area shall not increase flood heights. So just to cover that base. And that was straight from Tessa at DEC. So it seemed, again, it's all just about trying to make sure people can get the national flood insurance coverage.
Any variance within the flood hazard district will not increase.
Any variance issued in the flood hazard area shall not increase the flood heights.
I don't understand what that means.
That sounds so, like no fill.
If there's any variance
issued, which would increase the level of flooding. If because of displacement,
that could be one, but any variance that the DRB would offer could not increase the flood heights. So any variance that they consider issuing in this area could not affect the flood height. Is that was how she was explaining it. Yeah, which I think could be a few things.
7?
That was 305.7 that we're adding there. So I just want to make sure that that seems solid or if you guys had any questions on that.
Well, I still have a hard time understanding what it means. Because, so not increased flood heights, meaning that they can't give a variance that says you can have a higher flood here?
No, well, that's...
Well, I mean, so the 100-year flood...
Right.
...elevation is established by... I don't know who establishes it. It's established. It's on a map, right?
Right.
It's
the mapping, yeah.
And right. It's that
level that we're
level
using.
And the location of that 100-year flood, I'm presuming that you can't take the initiative to say, we're going to move it 100 feet back over there so that I am or I'm not within the flood plain. I'm guessing.
That's exactly. And so basically with any action that we did, whether it was changing the grade, doing the fill, we can't alter. Right. So when the DRB is issuing, if they're issuing a variance, that has to be taken into consideration. And I think tell me, Judy, if this sounds okay. If you want me to ask Tessa for more details, I can do that. It would be great if we can try to move this forward, because otherwise, I mean, again, I have no problem if we have to do a special meeting, but if we wait and then until October, it keeps pushing it. But I can definitely get, if this sounds like an okay plan, I can definitely get more details from Tessa, share it by email, and if there's concerns, then we could just hold it and do it for our meeting.
I don't object to agreeing to the language
this
change.
This is from Tessa, right?
This is from Tessa, and it's also from Sasha, from the language. Flood, yeah.
My standard is always, if I don't understand it, somebody else is going to understand it. That means if somebody who's on the developmental review board who's making a decision doesn't understand it, we need to, at someplace, have a little asterisk that tells them what it means.
What that means.
So I would agree to approve it tonight on the basis of the recommendation from the state.
Yep, from DEC. Yeah.
But...
No, that's fine. And I think that Brian definitely, just through his work on the DRB, has an understanding, and probably Dennis as well. But I can double check to get the details from Tessa, and then I can share it with everyone and make sure it seems okay. So we could even do like, approve it contingent on nobody having an issue with it. Once it's, I get more details from Tessa and you guys look at it, and if anyone's like, whoa, wait a minute.
How about not saying, if we have an issue with it, then we need to revote and change it. I don't think we can approve something contingent on us not.
Okay, then that's fine too. That's an approach too.
Instead, we can contingent on there being some additional information provided.
That's fine. And then you guys could let me know via email and we could just bring it back for October. Yeah, because both Tessa and Sasha, who worked in the flood at MVDA, they both had plugged this in. And again, it was mostly trying to get that compliance that they said we didn't need that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why don't we look at the next one, if you guys are okay with that for now as the language, and I can definitely get the more details on it. And then, so the next one that we go to, I think there were just the two, 532.14F. It sounds like it's raining a lot harder now.
Where is that answer again?
As long as we don't flood.
Exactly. So this one now is 532.14F. And this is, again, just adding it in the other variance place in this section, where it just says, it's the same language. Any variance issued in the flood hazard area shall not increase flood heights.
Shall not include?
Increase, yes. Yeah, so that's the same language there in both variance sections. And then the...
Where is it actually added?
Oh, just at the end. Yes. Hello.
That F doesn't look like my F.
Oh, sure.
Can you guys go out the front door, whoever's the last one, make sure it closes the wrong way, because it doesn't just close automatically.
Okay. So it'll be automatically locked. We just have to make sure it's fully closed.
Exactly.
And then I'll lock the back downstairs.
Yep.
Okay. And are you guys all done and gone?
We're done.
Okay, cool. Okay, good. Thanks, Michelle.
Could you tell me again what the section is so I can see where it fits in?
Yes, variances.
It's
532.14F. It's page 63, the top of 63. Although since I'm bumping up some numbers, it might be, 62, 63, 64.
Are we doing this under chair update and straight chair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's 532.21.
0.214F.
21. 532.21, administration, section 8, F, variances. The Development Review Board may grant variances with this overlay. Is that the one?
532.21, administration, yep.
Yeah.
And then if you go down to F, yep. And then it's variances, and it's right at the end there, yep.
Okay.
Above G, which was the violations.
So it's not 0.145, it's 0.2145?
It's 532.21F.
F.
Okay.
Yes. And then we just had the one more.
So you're going to put the same sentence that any variance granted for development within the flood hazard area shall not increase flood heights?
Yes.
And is that so? Is granted in there?
Any variance issued in the flood hazard area shall not increase flood heights. Yeah. So that's the same language in that, just added in that variance section as well.
And they think we need it in both places?
Yeah, it was sort of one or the other or both. Like we could pick one if we just wanted it to be in one section. I'm trying to do it on the computer that's recording us. Do you have a preference?
I mean, it seems kind of simple language, but I think it has a lot of effect.
It does.
Do you understand?
I'm not an expert. My fallback is that anything you do in the zone can't increase the flood height, which would mean no displacement of water. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of cases right now that they are doing that.
Yep.
And so what that tells me is the state is trying to preempt that right off the bat.
Well, even the National Flood Insurance Program, if you have a building that's going to displace.
Perfect example that I got permitted to put fill in that floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically it's going to raise the flood height.
Right.
And, it's just an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is the state is, getting strict and
Yeah.
Concern.
And just the insurance program wanting to make sure that that's exactly where this is coming from. Yep.
So I assume that's why, but you know, obviously I'm not.
I mean, I think it is what it is. It is exactly what it says. It's just, you know, what are the other things that could do that? You know, and that's where the DRB, like exactly, that's where the DRB would come in and having to weigh that if they're going to issue a variance or not. Mm-hmm. But Brian and I and Dennis are in touch quite often, so I can make sure that they understand that and get further details from Tessa just to make sure it really is clear.
So you use the word displacement, and then when you say increase the flood height, you don't mean a mark on a map. You mean when that flood comes, the water will go higher than it otherwise would have?
Right.
Because just
the fill in to displace where the floodplain would, you know, normally spread water out, mm-hmm. or constrictions in the stream areas, mm-hmm. something like that.
So that all has to be taken into account.
You know, this is going to be really huge coming up.
It is.
Because people have been doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to be a lot of grandfathered. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a suspension bridge on Sleepers, mm-hmm. that's been there forever. You drive by.
Well, this is where the river corridor piece is sort of coming next.
This is going to be huge for people.
Right. And that's not just erosion. It's, you know, there's a lot more to that whole, you know, the whole plane.
And once those old structures either go in disrepair and people go to, mm-hmm. try and get renewals or something, it's going to be
It's massively controversial because people are talking about, you've got this river or this stream and now we want to give it this space so it doesn't just go here and we make it go there. We want to now give it some space.
It's increasing the area that they're going to have.
And this is where people are all over the place on this one. But I'm going to save that if you don't mind, because we've got a good amount to get through. So
people it's going to be a big adjustment.
It's a big deal. Yeah. And we'll get there probably next year. So, because we're still waiting on those maps. Okay, so then the last one that I have, if everyone was okay with putting that in both places, the variances, and I think sometimes it probably is nice to have it in both in case someone sees it in one place and misses it in the other, and then it's at least just in there. But then the next one is, just to get you the number properly, Greg. Okay, 532.14. This was the other one.
That's
532.14F. Okay, so then I jumped down to the other one before. That's the right number. Okay.
For what?
So this is where we are in enclosed areas. Okay. So fully enclosed areas that are above grade, below the lowest floor, and subject to flooding will, one, be solely used for parking of vehicle, storage, or building. This is already in here.
Right.
Or building access. And such a condition will clearly be stated on any permits. And then what both Sacha and Tessa were saying we needed to add was, and be designed to automatically equalize hydrostatic flood forces on exterior walls by allowing for the entry and exit of floodwaters as certified by a registered professional engineer or architect. Now that was in a statement below, but we had to put that up. So we basically just shifted position because it's already there in order to make room for the next one, number two. So we have that in there already. And then this is the new part, number two. We had to shift that up to the section one. Must meet or exceed the following minimum criteria: a minimum of two openings on two walls, having a total net area of not less than 1 square inch for every square foot of enclosed area subject to flooding shall be provided. The bottom of all openings shall be no higher than 1 foot above adjacent grade. Openings may be equipped with screens, louvers, valves, or other coverings or devices, provided that they permit the automatic entry and exit of floodwaters. So now they're getting, like before it used to be, in accordance with accepted standards of practice for meeting NFIP, now they have a very specific entry and exit of water and this how much space based on this square footage. And I asked her and I just said,
very technical.
Very technical. And I just, because basically we were going back and forth on, you know, should you just go with in accordance? Will that be enough? And then that's where they kind of kept going to their higher ups and checking and saying, no, if we really want to make sure we get coverage, we finally get a clear answer on that should be in there if we want to make sure that the compliance is there.
Is there any reason why we can't leave one and two in place? Number this three and add four, or
I did check all of that with them. I went through all of that, like keeping in accordance, etc. And the suggestion that they came, and I can go back to them, no problem. If we don't,
why bother? Why bother? Why not? You're going to have an item where everything described in F will 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm. So we could definitely change the formatting of that if that's what you're saying. I mean, I have no problem with changing the format. She just had to go through all the higher ups and finally got back to me today. So this was me plugging in quick, like, okay, here's what one and two should look like, and then we would be removing.
Because it's not in front of me.
Well, it's just that she's got one. We got 1, 2, 3 right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And she wants to put 1 and 2 together. Which then makes a very long sentence.
No, well, 1 and 2 together. No, you'd have a 1 and then a 2. So basically,
section 2 would be combined with section 1 to all become part of 1, is what you said. And then we add something that is none of them.
Oh, then we're adding 2.
And 3 stays 3.
Right.
And I don't see why do we even bother to do that. Why don't we just need to plug in 3 and call the next one 4 or make this 4?
Well, we can change it in any which way you want. I thought you meant that we were just going to be doing 2 versus 3.
Because the existing 1 and 2 that I think you're proposing you combine are distinct topics. They are not the same topic.
So you're saying that you want a 1, 2, 3, 4?
We just have 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
That's fine. I have no problem.
One is about the usage.
So you're saying
you're only going to park vehicles down there. You're not going to put your down there.
So you're saying just so
number 2 is that you're going to construct this wall so that water can flow in and automatically equalize and not crush the wall.
And not crush the building. Yeah.
So we're separating.
Yes.
That's totally fine. So you're saying number 1 would read, hold on, I just want to make sure I get it, versus on the new one, because this is what I'm going to be correcting. So on the new one, it would say, be solely used for parking of vehicle, storage, or building access, and such a condition will clearly be stated on any permits.
Yep.
That's number 1. Number two, be designed to automatically equalize, professional engineer architect.
Yeah.
Or.
So
be designed. So number 2 is the be designed to automatically equalize. And then you're saying number 3 would be must meet or exceed
criteria.
The following minimum criteria. Yeah. So that's our number
4 is
include a signed agreement from the owner. That's fine.
And the moves down to 3.
Right. Yep.
That way you've got each
and then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
And people go confused and think that
perfect
somehow.
That's good.
I don't know.
Everyone okay with that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All in favor? Any opposed?
Absolutely not.
Okay, we're all good. Okay, and so that was all of them. That was the variance additions, and then this here. And I think at this point, unless there's any other questions or considerations, if someone could make a motion with knowing that I will share what comes back from Tessa, and if there's something different that we need to deliberate, we'll do that in October. But otherwise, if everything seems solid, are we good to approve this?
Sure.
I so move.
So David moves to approve the amended Danville zoning bylaw.
Right, to 305.7, 532, if you need that, Greg.
I have that, so I
will. 4F and 532.
So we have a move?
We do.
Okay.
We've
do you need a second?
We don't need a second.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Or opposition.
All right, so we moved that. Awesome. Okay, thank you. So that was good, because those were the last lingering pieces on that. Okay, so I'm clear on doing my 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, yeah, and then basically chair update, administrative check-in. There was that piece for us to go through. Did you guys have anything else? Greg, I had added some things on here that I knew you wanted to discuss, but was there something else that you had for administrative check-in?
I don't know what goes in old, what goes in new. I mean, administrative check-in, we spoke of membership with Kate and David.
Yes.
So, I mean, one thing I wanted to say about that, I'd say give Kate as much time as she needs personally. But the David one, the Historical Society, the historic, it's third person name. The non intended. The Historical Society has a really robust membership recruitment mm-hmm. process sort mm-hmm. of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, do we want to do that as a team? How does the Planning Commission recruit talent?
Right. There's a few people that have actually reached out to me. So I feel that, because David, you said end of the year, right?
So Audrey usually posts it in.
Yeah, if we need that, well, right?
That's reactive versus proactive, mm-hmm. right? I mean, David was, pardon me?
It's posting it as a announcing to the public that there's an opening or will be an opening.
Then the public reacts to it.
Yeah, true.
Okay, but anyway, it's okay.
You talk to somebody and they say they're interested. They react.
I'm fairly comfortable to say that, you know, people react to a post versus us approaching someone that might have a skill set, particularly enhanced energy. I think David was like very strong with that.
Oh yeah,
and we know that's on her agenda. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe speaking to David as into what his record. So I didn't know if the end of the year is.
Well, I think what I could do, if it sounds okay then, is for next month, I'll put that, because we do have a good amount to get through, I'll put that on the agenda so we could maybe just toss around some ideas and see if we have, you know, people we want to connect with or we want to put something out there in Front Porch Forum. So I'll add that to the agenda because you've got a few months still with us. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through the end of December, do that mm-hmm. last meeting. Okay. Yep. Does that sound okay to everybody?
I mean, are we all here today?
Except for Kate. Yeah.
Awesome. Is there a maximum number?
Seven.
Seven is the max.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see what Kate's story is. I need to connect with her again. I have not.
It's been over a year since she's been to a meeting.
Has it been a year? October? I think it was October.
November. She attended a train station meeting a couple weeks ago, first time I've seen her.
And she had asked for kind of, you know, I think a month or two. But was hoping. And so last month was when I updated you guys about what was going on. And then I reached out to her and I need to hear back from her. And so if you guys can maybe give me this window and then I'll come mm-hmm. back with an answer for, what would that be? The end of October, just to see. And then we can decide from there if she shows for October or where we want to go with things. And hopefully we'll have talked to her again. Mm-hmm. So does that sound acceptable?
You put down the timeline, David's timeline. Anyway,
right. Because then we would need one or two.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So we have recruitment as a
recruitment
topic.
Recruitment as an agenda item. Yes. Okay. Perfect.
And my other one, I didn't know where we're approaching recommended actions.
Oh yeah, that was definitely going to be plugged in for next time.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Okay. Anybody else have any check-ins? And I think moving forward, you had suggested, Greg, that you wanted the old and new on the agenda too.
Yeah, it seems like we touch on a lot of things, and just
it'd be good to have a spot.
That we have closure.
Yeah,
know, what comes off the list?
Perfect.
Know, completed.
Okay, so we'll make sure that goes on just regularly. Okay, and then we have, unless there's anything else for me, the Danville DRB decision on the Rural Edge Housing Project, which I had shared with you guys, and then Audrey did copy those. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out. It's kind of small, I think.
I've got it.
You have it. Okay.
One thing that jumped out at me, not to be hijacking, but this 4,000 square foot limitation does not make sense to the board in that someone can develop a 1-acre lot in this zone and divide it into four and develop. Do we have a change outstanding?
That was part of the Homes Act where they could do that times four. And you could do math, like that's a state law that changed.
I'll let you guys read this if necessary, but that jumped out at me. It's like the board's like, sounds like the zoning bylaws don't make sense.
Well, this is part of what Brian has been talking about, and we started this conversation, and this is where we hopefully we'll circle back to this conversation. I had brought up to you guys a few months ago when Brian was struggling with on the shoreline district, why do we have a 1,500 footprint? Should we just do impervious surface? But then the Planning Commission has taken a whole obviously other turn because we were looking at the National Flood Insurance Program and some of the other changes that came up, the flu maps. So that kind of gave the footprint a back seat. So we need that's on the list to revisit that conversation to see, are we just going with impervious surface? But I think it's a bigger, broader conversation because if we just do that, how big of a house can we get on a lot? So we started to have this, and this is some of what led to where Judy had done the revisions of those handouts that we were going to use for people to kind of guide, you know, impervious surface and square footage, et cetera. So those are all things for our next zoning update for 2026 that we'll need to look at. The only reason we sort of plugged this one was because there was a push for the National Flood Insurance Program, and then we had to update the subdivision language that was messed up before that David did the language on and we all agreed to. So if I could say that I think it's a really good question, Greg. Obviously, it's come up now again with this decision. And if we will just definitely add that as we move along. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And this one here, basically, I just want to say Patrick Shattuck, don't know how to say his last name, but he's the Rural Edge guy, and he really needed to be able to tell his investor, you know, I went to the PC, and I've asked them to see if they would change the zoning bylaw. You guys can read this. I think that Brian did an awesome job weighing out the project and the existing bylaws. And I know Brian was really happy with the changes that Rural Edge came back with because originally they were asking for 6 units and now they have 4 units, which is what is in the zoning bylaw based on the newer state statute that they can add 4 more units. They can add 40% and they have 10 units, so they can add the 4. And so you can see this, the original proposal that Rural Edge came with would have moved the site into more nonconformance. So it would have had super close, you know, sides, setbacks, etc. He was really concerned about it. And that's where he asked them to come back and do the 4 units, which was what was allowed by law and by the zoning bylaws, instead of the 6 units. So they came and they delivered that. And basically what the balance ended up being is that here you can have your 4 units, not your 6. It fits in with our zoning bylaws. It moves the lot towards more compliance, conformance, not nonconformance. And then he gave them some good leeway on the square footage because of the project itself and what it would offer. So he gave them several thousand more on the square footage, and that was unanimous. The whole board, review board, agreed to that.
It's I mean the biggest statement there is that overall compliance improved in almost every space,
exactly, right? Versus the other version
of it, the grandfather out of compliance,
right? Yeah. And versus the other version that they had originally presented. And personally, I'm not a fan of spot zoning. I think that sets a bad precedent, and I really feel like the DRB did a great job, and I would want to, in my opinion, honor the work that they did using the zoning bylaws and getting a lot closer to conformance. And Rural Edge had specifically said that the 4 lots, the investor should be fine with that. Like they should be able to move that forward to offer 4 more units to people
instead of the six,
which created a lot of a bigger problem for the DRB. Yeah, so it seemed like, you know, zoning, DRB were all on board with this, and then Patrick had put it out to me. And from what I could tell, it was essentially because he wanted to be able to say to the investor, you know, I've tried every avenue that I can.
And we got 4.
Yeah. And we're going, yes. Good. That was basically where I, my understanding in talking to Patrick and Brian and Dennis. So I just wanted to see if we were all in agreement on just respecting the DRB's decision mm-hmm. and letting that move forward, or if we were going to take it up and try to change zoning bylaws mm-hmm. in order to allow the project.
So. How about an and?
Say it again.
And, not or, and.
And okay, did I have the wrong word there?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm making a fresh proposal.
Oh, okay.
That we approve and we revisit this provision and possibly change it if it, quote, doesn't make sense.
Oh, the 4,000.
Yeah.
Oh, so like we, so explain that in more detail. I'm sorry, are you saying
I'm reading this for the first time.
Oh, no problem.
But he makes this argument. He says why. He says this doesn't make sense.
Right.
He makes an argument for why it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And if it doesn't make sense,
we should revisit
maybe
it.
Maybe we should change it.
Right. Those are the conversations we've been starting to have, but no one has the answers of, you know, you look at towns, and this is where I was looking at a lot of the other towns to see how they do it, and there's tons of debate on how you do this impervious surface, or do you have the square footage? So yes, we need to dive into that to help them and get that nailed down. But with regards to the decision, where are we landing on that? Are we...
Sounds like it's a done deal.
No.
Does anyone want to make a motion there?
Well, why do we need to approve what they've done?
Because he was asking us. I mean, we could just all in consensus agree if we do. The developer wanted us to revisit that and change the zoning bylaws.
Did the developer make a request for us to us?
He did request it to me, and I obviously can't say no, so I'm bringing it to you guys. Because we all have to decide.
So he's, what is it?
He's rural edge. He's rural edge.
I understand
edge.
That.
Okay, yeah. No.
So are you talking about the request he that was sort of in the air after the first permit was denied, or is there a new one?
No, this is the one that we have now that we're looking at is the decision.
So, and he wants us to change what?
He was saying, you know, can the planning commission look at this and change the bylaw so that we could do 6 units?
Okay.
Was this a oral conversation?
This was an email.
So he made a written.
He actually emailed me to talk, and then we spoke. And that's where I had shared it with you guys, but the flu maps kept coming up. So I told him we'd probably get to it in September or October. So here we are with me sharing it with you guys.
I guess I would want to have more information before I decided I wanted to change.
It already sounds like they're okay with 4, so there's no changes needed.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were just saying he's not okay with 4.
Well, I don't know if you had heard me say that he basically came... Because, of course, they would love to do 6, and he could tell the investor that. But I think he also needs to tell the investor he exhausted all of his avenues, and this is the DRB decision. Right. So I think the question is, where does the Planning Commission land on it?
My land on it is that if you would like to bring a written request for him to change it, then you can make a motion. But, I mean, what would we make a motion out of?
I just don't know if we really want to open that can of worms, to be honest. I mean, Brian, and I think if we want to...
What you call spot. Yeah,
the spot zoning. Like, what sort of precedent are we setting where if someone comes in and we...
Every time. Let setbacks go to the wayside so that he can...
Like, oh, you did it on this project, and okay, well, can we do it on this project? I mean, and that's the thing is, I told Brian, obviously, I'll bring it to you guys to see what you guys want to say, you know, what you guys say, but really the action, and you can see this on the back, the action that he really actually should take is he could appeal this to the Vermont Environmental Court if he disagrees with the DRB's decision. And so that really is the next step for them to take if they're not happy with it, whereas he's coming to us saying, and some towns do this, you know, some towns will say, oh yeah,
we'll fudge.
We'll do that. But the thing that Brian was very much struggling with, and I talked to Brian about it multiple times, and he said, I'll come and talk to you guys about it if you need me to. If we were to decide that we were going to consider changing bylaws, Brian would like to come make his case because this is his decision based on our existing zoning bylaws and the state law. And he said, obviously, it would be very non-conforming even more than it already is. It's already a non-conforming lot, and the 6 units would make it more non-conforming compared to the 4 units makes it more conformance.
Right. Didn't they also tell him there's a property behind it? If he bought the property behind it, then
there were some options for him to consider doing that as well. Yeah, but there's really close, like I think on one setback.
So quick question. Please excuse my ignorance. And I do have significant space, but how would that be any different from like the waiver that Marty was given to expand the convenience store?
Yep, that did happen, and they altered that.
So they gave a waiver. They didn't alter any zoning bylaws. They gave a waiver to the zoning bylaw, correct?
Yeah, and I think that he also, Brian, gave a waiver on the square footage here too. Here. Yeah. So I think it's like, again, it's assessing. Yeah. And also I think, you know, again, I think they got 2,000 or 3,000 more on the square footage in order to accommodate the fact that, you know, it is a good project, et cetera. So,
I mean, my feeling is you'd be supportive of Brian. That's my feeling. And it sounds like they've come to a sense like this is okay, but the guy would probably like to push the envelope as much as he could. Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's the job.
You know, more units is more rental income.
Right. So I think the question that we have at hand, go ahead, Judy. Sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, no, just that if we're talking, I'm unclear what it is exactly. We started from the first permit. Mm-hmm. I mean, he obviously wants two more, mm-hmm. but if you're talking about doing literal spot zoning, where mm-hmm. we're saying we're going to change the zoning bylaw just for this one single lot, mm-hmm. no.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The answer is absolutely no.
Yeah.
If you're talking about changing the entire zone, then we would have to think about it and we'd have to.
At this point, it would be, are we going to change? He needs to go to his, right. They're supposed to start in November, December. Yeah.
Right.
So right now,
it would take months, if not a year, to get it through the entire process.
Right. And that's where it's obviously we have changes to be made and conversations to look at. But for this project in particular, are we going to honor the DRB's decision and say no?
I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. And my view is that maybe that 4,000 square feet makes or the maximum footprint makes sense. Maybe it doesn't.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know that we want to change it,
right?
Because maybe what we see here is that in a single case where it didn't make sense,
right?
There was enough justification to change it because they are in fact reducing the nonconformity.
Exactly.
So there's a quid pro quo.
This is like a really important conversation that we need to dive into.
Not necessarily justify changing the zoning so that there's more than 4,000 square feet allowed.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So there's two things at hand, right?
So this is great. Mm-hmm. I have no objection to there and no reason why I would object to there.
So is everybody in support of the DRB's decision?
Yes.
Okay, and so we do not want to make any changes to the zoning bylaw to have this project be altered or have them come back? A different plan?
It's not based on what we have now.
Okay.
We could, but it would take a period of time that exceeds their needs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can commit to looking at these particular provisions.
They could give us a presentation about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We would have to consider, it's going to take us 2, 3, 4 meetings to decide whether we're going to change it. And then you have to warn it and present it to select board.
Well, I guess really then that's the decision. So that's, I mean, if you are putting that out there as something you'd like to do, then I think we, that's really then up to us to decide. Like, are we all going to say, or do people want to say, okay, nope, we're good with it as it is. The DRB did a good job. We're not going to consider these changes. Maybe down the road, we're going to change our zoning bylaw because we want to look at that other way, but it's not in relation to this. So, or are we going to do it in relation to that? Like if you wanted, I guess you're throwing out there, correct me if I'm wrong.
What I'm saying is that we could change our bylaw but not for a particular lot.
Yep. Okay. Then and that's the big
what
thing.
I heard is everyone say we're not going to do it for one particular
That's
lot.
All we need to determine at this
if
point.
If they wish to do a presentation to the board suggesting why we ought to change the entire zone, mm-hmm. then they can do that. Mm-hmm. And that's
so then,
as far as I'm concerned, that's
sounds like they're going to accept this.
Most likely.
This DRB.
So then you guys will have to see where you land on this, because I think, again, we have two separate issues going on. One, I need to get back to Patrick and be able to say to him, okay, this is where we landed with regards to your project. But I could also say at some point next year, or in this next year, we're going to be, you know, doing some adjusting to the zoning bylaws. And if you'd want to make a presentation, you know, you can do that.
And that's a perfectly fine way to put it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I think at this point, then, are we in consensus with me getting back to Patrick to say that the Planning Commission is going to uphold the DRB's decision that you have?
Do we have the power to uphold?
Sounds like it's in resolution.
We're not unhappy with it.
We take no
but
exception.
We don't. We take no exception to it.
We have
we
to somehow, however, whatever language, whatever language we want
to
use, we're not approving it, but we right. need to be able to say somehow, no, the we're Planning not. Commission
we think
is
they
not
did
going.
A nice job.
Yes.
We can say that. They did a great job.
Yeah. But I already said that. And now he said, so I said, look, they balanced things out really well. And he said, if you could please bring it to the Planning Commission. So I need to now go back to him and say, we were all in consensus or not, that we are not going to, perfect, that we're not going to go down that road. Okay. So that's the piece that I need clarity on.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Okay. So I'll let him know, unless there's any opposition down the road.
Yeah.
And it will be unrelated to this project, because this project will have started,
moved on.
Been designed, and moved on. And
perfect.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of changes. I'm sure there will.
But at this time, we're not going to do anything immediately in relation to your project.
Right.
Okay, so are we all on the same page there?
Yeah.
And then obviously we can tell we have a lot of work ahead of us with regards to square footage and impervious surface. Okay, thank you. That's good. As long as I can get back to him with clarity. Okay, and then the memo.
Sure. I've got something for everybody to look at. I have no idea what people wanted to say. But there's something you can read.
And introduce this to me.
Last month, we had a proposed letter to the NVDA about maps, and it seemed that the commission wanted something a little shorter and to the point. I'm not sure I remembered what the point was, but that's what this is.
You look like you did in here. You've given us assurances that the FLU map does not override the standards set in our zoning bylaws, which will continue to control development in Danville. That was a big one. Personally, I would disagree with, in particular because of this insurance, the commission is reasonably satisfied with the proposed map. There's a lot of unknowns. We even just got a small glimpse of maybe the 10 or 15 people that showed up that, you know, even with Vince's example of, you know, this is wrong compared to like the updated data set. So I don't think, personally, I'm not reasonably satisfied with the proposed map.
Okay.
But I don't know where people land on that otherwise. I feel like everything else is like very kind and thank you and lots of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
From
a timing aspect, would there be value in waiting until the delivery map, or is that irrelevant?
The delivered map to who? Like when the MVDA presents it to the LURB, to the Land Use Review Board? So basically the process is the MVDA is developing their regional map based on all of our then town agreed FLU maps, or not really agreed, but the best we could work on together. And then they will present them to the Land Use Review Board. Like Rutland just presented theirs. They're the first one to present their regional FLU maps. And then the LURB has to approve those. And I did talk to Kirsten Sultan. She's amazing. She was district coordinator District 7 for Act 250. She's on the LURB right now, and we know each other from stuff, and we had a big long talk, and she sees and recognizes all the concerns. I went through some of the concerns that were on my list last time, as well as this statement that you said, we don't know about the overriding part, and we're trying to understand the long-term effects. They're all in the same boat. They don't know the long-term effects, but they do look to the regional plans for their guidance. So that's where there is some struggle of what does that mean for our maps and our zoning bylaw and et cetera. So there's unfortunately a ton unknown, but it's an active conversation, and the Land Use Review Board is very open to it. I love your last sentence. Commission members continue to try and understand the long-term effects of Act 81, and we look forward to your continued assistance in that regard. Mm-hmm. The only one I struggled with is the reasonably satisfied, personally. Mm-hmm. So I would want to ideally remove that based on how other people feel. I just feel like there's a lot of lack of precision and unknowns because we only got very limited feedback.
The first sentence and the last sentence in that paragraph don't 100% jive, possibly. Well, the commission is not entirely content with the end result, and it ends with, in particular, because of the assurance cone is reasonably satisfied and entirely content.
So if you just take off,
I guess you can dance that.
The point I thought of the letter was that they needed. Was basically saying we're done.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do know that, right?
So if we're not entirely content, but we're done. So that was the idea. The idea is reasonably we're whatever you want to say.
Yeah. Well, the commission.
The idea is that they've given us some reassurances, and that on that basis we're going forward, but I'm not sure. We don't have to say the word satisfied, even a modified reasonably satisfied. But I think we need to say something that basically says,
in particular, because of this assurance, the commission.
It's an awkward sentence, and I admit that, but that's because I knew.
Yeah.
It's an awkward thing to say.
In particular because of this assurance, which they've told us. And I don't even know if we need that in there. I mean, they have given us some level of insurance, but then Kristen said the very opposite thing that Liam told us regarding that, you know, so.
Well, you say that both of them have given us assurance.
I actually agree with you. Just drop the sentence.
Just drop the whole sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense not having any conclusion?
Conclusion.
You have given us assurances that the flu map does not override the standards set in our zoning bylaws, which will continue to control development in Danville. At this time, we...
Something about closure?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going with, yeah. Or at this time, we feel we have done all the work we possibly can
in modifying...
In requesting modifications to the proposed flu map.
They did some quick modifications. And then, I kind of agreed with what he said on some other things.
Mm-hmm.
People were, you know, not making a ton of sense about big forest block land ownership being rural.
But that is really coming up in a lot of other places with people not so happy about being plugged into a rural conservation or rural general forest or ag versus general. So, and again, it's all sort of unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we could get rid of that, and then if people agree on that one, and then plugs a closure thing in, it's 8:30. My brain's a little fried, so I'm going to try here. But if anyone, so what would that look like? At this time.
Well, maybe the solution is to simply, I mean, that first sentence had started out as a compound sentence. I mean, the last sentence, meaning you have given us the assurance.
Right.
That statement on its own doesn't make sense, but I could change it so that it says.
Our current understanding. Oh, is that the flu map? Oh, sorry.
Second to last sentence or the last sentence?
We'll talk about the second to last.
And I was just wondering if we could change it, since you don't have the assurance that you were trying to follow through in your thought. If we just said our current understanding is that the flu map does not override the standard set in our zoning bylaws, which will continue to control development in Danville.
Yeah.
I think it's important to make it clear that
they assured
we were
us.
Told
okay.
Multiple
okay.
times.
I like that. That you have given
no,
us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have told us.
Yeah. You
and
have given
so
us.
In other words, ours. It's conditional based on, you know, not
and
defined.
Maybe we just say, this is, that's important.
And
to
if
us.
You want to follow up with your, because of this assurance, because you have it in the front, because of this assurance, we are currently done. Are
done with
we're
you.
Done with you. We have no further questions. We have no further recommendations. We have no further recommendations for your proposed flu map at this time.
This phase is
we're done. Do you feel strongly about keeping your in particular because of this assurance?
No, I okay. don't like that phrase.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, at this time, or do you have something brewing there, Judy?
Well, I'm thinking.
Okay.
We have no further comment.
No comment. I think recommendations... could be a good word in there. What did you say? Instruction?
No, I said at this juncture.
At this juncture.
No further,
yeah, at this time, at
I mean,
this
I
juncture.
I assume they want to publish this thing. That's kind of, they want to move
they away. Have already heard from us.
Yeah.
I had asked you guys that when I told them to shift the recreational resource area down on Joe's Pond. So they already know, like, we have nothing yeah. further. This was just the follow-up. So we can, you know, just having something on the record and attached to it that we've sort of done our stuff. And that's, yeah. What else can we say?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else really to say at this point.
I don't know. I'm not good at this time of night.
I know, but I'm kind of done. I've had meetings all day long. Let's try this. We got to nail this down. Okay. What are we doing? We are saying, moving on.
What do we want to say?
I think somehow
is it that, you've provided us with this very important chance. And
at this time,
we've
have,
given you our feedback. Sorry. You explained why you will or would not accommodate these our suggestions. You've given us this assurance.
And this is obviously an optional step as well, correct?
We're
making the decision
to add this info, yeah.
And at this juncture, we have no additional requests or recommendations.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact that it's for sure that it's not exactly controlling local zoning.
Right. I think we should have past and present deliberations in there. That's like one of my favorites, that line of
so
yours.
This printout has
that
Liam's name on
it. It did? That was so weird. I'm like, what do you mean you don't understand that? How long has Danville been around?
Uppity Danville.
So this printout has Liam on the... Is this an unsent message?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a draft.
This is a draft. I'm sorry, you're going to... It's not a ride to standard set. So
this is good.
It's good. I talked to Kirsten about all of my stuff, and I'm probably going to put something together on my own. But the biggest thing, I think, obviously you took it. Thank you, Judy.
This space is in great shape.
It's amazing.
I've been in a lot of town halls. This is in good shape.
I know.
This is nice.
Are you talking
Keith Yadapi always
this
wants
was,
to do...
This was fully renovated not too long ago.
Okay.
And
yeah.
it has,
right.
It's completely available for community use. Danville has a comedy of luxury and community space it doesn't get used.
It's, I mean, how expensive
as long as the insurance part, it was a lot of it was related to insurance because Keith was talking about how he was upset he goes to other towns to do the dance thing. They don't do that thing that here. But we're a little off topic and it's kind of later, so sorry. But
if the Senate says that, you say you've given us the insurances, but we'll continue control development in Danville, with that assurance, we have no further requests.
Period. Yeah.
Period.
That's great.
Okay.
Yes. And do you want to, if we all agree on it at this point, do you want to get it to me and I'll send that to them?
Sure.
Do it that way?
Sure.
And when you send that, could you blind copy me so that I could copy paste it into our correspondence?
Well, you're going to CC everybody on the board.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
That's good. Call that.
Perfect. Okay, we're good. All in consensus on the last piece that Judy did? Okay, perfect. Okay, and then the only other two, I guess few things. We'll see where we go here. What time is it? I'm sorry. 8:37. Okay. Planning Commission liaison discussion. The reason I brought this up is because two times ago where Greg had requested about seeing if he could connect on the parking lot and the downtown, the parking lot and the downtown parking sidewalk. And when you reached out to the crew and then I reached out to, you guys had agreed for me to reach out to the select board and they were already sort of established in their committees and their groups or whatnot. So then they had said to Greg that you can come to the public comment, you can come to any of the discussion stuff we have, but our meetings and groups are already established and we're in the thick of it. So it was kind of like the Planning Commission's a little late to the game here. But just moving forward, it made me think, because I know some towns do this, where does it make sense to do a Planning Commission liaison to the select board to keep an eye? And Greg, you had seemed like that was something that you have brought up and had possible interest in, no pressure, but I just didn't know if it made sense since you were keeping an eye on those things. No, go ahead. It's basically just like trying to bring that up.
At the last meeting at the 19 minute and 30 second, but we all agree it would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. It's the same as Balavé did to the train station, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. We made a request to be included into the committees. There's two different efforts, mm-hmm. and that's basically where we're at this evening. Mm-hmm. And they declined. They said, you know, you can go to public meetings. Now they continue to hold these committee meetings. They held one for the town law, they say. And so brutally honest with you, they don't want in that space sort of thing.
Well, so that's where to me it wasn't, I shared this in the thread that you shared with everyone. I didn't see it as a decline, and I don't know if that's something you feel the need or the Planning Commission
I
just want to finish the one thought. I just, the way that Janice presented it was we established these committees a while back. They're already sort of full and set, and we've already been in the work. So to me, it was more of like the late thing, but I didn't see it as a decline, and I don't know if it was like a should we push? But she presented it as, you know, you can come to any of the public meetings, you can come present public comment. And so regardless of what it was, to me it was moving forward, should we have some sort of a liaison to the select board to be keeping an eye for when these come up? Because not all of us are catching, like, oh, we're going to do a committee on this or we're going to do a thing on this. Can the Planning Commission be a member? Like to be involved in it early on versus trying to hit it midway when they're already there. Right. And so that was just an idea.
Yeah. If I may, this one, right? The planning, how is this town going to operate parking economically, which leads into our next economic, and the train station. I think the one-offs are important, mm-hmm. but to have somebody embedded and having to translate what this select board is doing and whether the Planning Commission should be in it. Maybe we could go the other way and say, would you please evaluate us for any project as into whether we should play a role versus mm-hmm. us mm-hmm. having to, you know, could that be a checklist in any committee they mm-hmm. make? Is the Planning Commission, is the development, you know, and not even just us, right? Mm-hmm. Conservation Commission.
Like the whole crew, right?
That would be the most positive outcome for this, in my mind, you know,
And because it might be somebody else on the planning commission.
And have you proposed that to the select board with regards to, hey, when you guys have a project brewing or you're, you know, putting a committee together, can you keep in mind someone from, and maybe they also want other public people involved who are not already on existing. You know, there's a few ways to think about that, but
I think that would be best done from the commission versus any single member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say that's probably just an email that you put out.
You know, because I'm fully conscious of the administrative workload that I make of trying to get into minutia sort of thing, you know, and people.
Well, it's important.
You know, but it's like, it's, we're coming and we're in a spacing dilemma right now. Don't let me run long, but the committees, commissions, et cetera, are all under duress. There's a perception that people aren't willing to do it.
Aren't willing, meaning
to
like,
volunteer you know, to show up to meetings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm new in town the last 8 years, a little bit younger, and my efforts to be engaging and stuff like that have met with significant resistance. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to go any farther down that
road. Right, okay.
But just, you know, when it, ideally in my mind, when a committee is stood up, there should be a checkbox that says, okay, this is, has a mission statement, has it this, has
and sometimes
that.
They
what
do that.
What parties should be reached out to, just a standard form of,
right.
You know.
So sometimes they do that, like the town services committee that I do, they, you know, we want someone from the DRB, we want someone from the planning commission, you know,
great
that sort of thing.
Great example. I go to every single meeting.
Right.
And they've made a point not to allow me on that board. That's just a fact.
Okay. Okay.
So
that's
so
where.
You're dealing with personality here versus, you know, so we should take it above or below that.
And that's where I think what I would say to it, and I don't know other thoughts on this, is that's where I didn't know if it made sense to have a liaison to the select board who could keep an eye for when these things presented, for when we might, you know, decide to jump in and say, I mean, I obviously the select board, like we have our two main missions, and that's town plan and zoning bylaw. But all of this thought process, like you said, in the development, it's all connected and related. I just don't know what the best move is. I that's where I was wondering about the liaison, because we can't just, I can't imagine we could just, you know, say, you know, anything you do select board, we want to make sure that we're a part of, unless we all decide that that's a statement we want to make to the select board, you know, of, hey, well,
I think we got enough of it.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that popped into my mind when you guys started talking about this topic was, and this was something we talked about with when Glenn Herron was head of this commission. It's just like there seems to be an opportunity to enhance communication between them because the town plan, which we work so hard on, you know, one wonders what's it good for? Like, are we getting the biggest bang for our efforts?
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that, step one, is make sure everyone is apprised of what's in the town plan. So that the liaison could be like the expert in the room on what's in the town plan. In other words, and the select board approved the town plan, am I correct?
Yes.
So the town plan, which y'all have approved, outlays these goals and this goal and this goal, and it actually is very specific. It says that this person shall do this. I mean, that there be an expert in the town plan in the present in the room when the select board meets seems like would knock it out of this concern out of the park. It would be
if you
suddenly
were willing.
That's
there would be integration
yeah.
with the town plan between this commission and the select board.
No matter who that expert ends up being, you're putting a lock on that particular individual.
Yeah,
and you know, when in reality it should come down.
Also got Glenn.
Well, that's like at this time, but
he's
there's
the
not, but there's
he's
not
the
off
he
right
wrote
now,
it.
right? But that's not always the case.
I know. I think that our resolution is the recommended action list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the town plan. You correct me if I'm wrong, but the town plan
like you said, create a, this is where I'm going with my economic questions, is there a recommended action list for the economic plan that's called, and who has it and where is it, you know? So
that's where
it's in the plan. Whatever there is, it's in the plan. And there are recommended actions in the plan.
To make budgets.
No.
Maybe a bit of a compromise in a sense between having a full-scale liaison and someone who has to go to every single board meeting is that somebody needs to actually pay attention to the minutes of each meeting and read the minutes.
And Glenn and I check in a bunch, so I feel like that's happening in that regard.
Say, oh, that looks like something that would affect us.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something you would want to take
could
on.
We could have a standing agenda item, and I mean, there's no reason why everyone on this commission possibly couldn't read through the minutes, right? The select board minutes, would that be asking too much?
Or there could be someone, I mean, I think if we had it on there for anything significant from the minutes that should be shared, I don't necessarily want to put that on people. I don't know how people feel about that, unless that was something you wanted to do.
Can we mull this one?
Yeah.
Can we table this agenda?
Totally.
Until, and then people come up with what they think.
So yeah.
Because I don't think we're going to fix it right
just
now.
To start the conversation of that's an option. Some of the bigger towns have that liaison that does it, and that's why I thought of you with this coming up. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just put it on
I mean,
on
I have a
time.
Distinct interest.
I know.
I would actually shoulder that role, but I don't know if it's a sustainable role.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's then talk about it for next time. I'll put it back on, and we'll sit on it. And then I also had, unless there was anything else on that.
To clarify, we made a request and we were declined acceptance into these committees.
I think that's fairly clear. I would have to go back. I didn't see it honestly as decline. I saw it as, hey, we established these committees a while back. We're in the thick of the work, but nobody pushed back. And it was basically the opportunities to participate. I think the next step could have been, no, we are formally requesting that the Planning Commission has a place, even those have been established. That would have been the decline. To me, it was, hey, no, these are already in play. We have our people. We're all good. We're in the thick of it. And so I didn't see it as a straight decline, as I had shared in that email. I think if there was the next step would have been, we are formally requesting. Because
do we make a motion to table it?
I think if we're all in consensus, we'll put it on the agenda for next time. Okay. And we can all brainstorm it and see.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the train station update. Greg, I was wondering if you wanted to.
I would love to.
Yeah, if you give us the lowdown, because you made it to that. I'm sorry I didn't.
The open house was stunning.
Seems like.
I mean, the building's beautiful. The weather couldn't have been any better. Mm-hmm. The public turnout was wonderful.
Awesome.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think it was nice for the team that did it. I mean, couldn't ask for nice.
The paper write-up on it was amazing. They did a really good job.
The construction's not done, to the best of my knowledge, right? They put on a few things to make it look like it was done. There's the handoff of the building's not done.
Mm-hmm. They still need some money.
Yeah, the pending the funding status, they're 170-something K out, which I think that the town's going to basically exhaust our building fund and then still be, this is my understanding, still be... you know, about 70-something thousand off. So it'll be interesting to see how the public shoulders that concept.
Because they're trying to prop them up until they can get the revenue.
In the same manner, my understanding of the project originally was that there was going to be an operations was going to pay for that. There was on-site retail or on-site activities was going to pay for operations, electric, heating, stuff like that. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the select board has offered to fund at least the first year sort of thing. So,
And then they're hoping to be financially viable, sustainable.
And then the formal recommendation where we tried to knock off a recommended action list of, you know, give positive feedback and stuff like that. There was no response to my email and I was not recognized in the meeting. So I'm going to list that as we did it.
Okay.
And there's just
Did you end up doing the card that we had agreed to?
I had it in my pocket, and I was there in that meeting, and I had told them that, you know, and they just didn't call
they didn't
on me in
do
the meeting,
it.
So I didn't force it.
Okay, gotcha. You know? Okay, that was your decision.
So our communicate it, in the recommended list, which we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. I'll put that on for next time.
You don't track it. It's like, you know, reached out and said, good job.
Yeah. Okay.
So train stations. Good.
Good.
They got money issues. They
what, is their, will. What is their revenue?
They have currently there is a electric rental bicycle on site. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they're open or if it's even open yet. And then they have the hot dog,
Rocky's
hot dog. We're super cool people.
Awesome.
But so they're going to be there now.
Yummy.
Well, you know, they're going to start weekends, midday. You know,
see if they get that.
They aren't. Again, the building's, despite the open house, the building's not necessarily. So the path is unclear moving forward as into how it's going to be paid for and how solid the tenants we're going to get, but the building's done.
But as of now, it's opened?
If there's no retailer in there, then it's not
yeah.
open, right?
I mean, think there was still some stuff.
All those questions are VTV. It's got the contract for mm-hmm. operations. And in short, Laura Ruggles. Mm-hmm. She hasn't answered anything.
So they only want to really open if there's a vendor in there monitoring?
Well, or a volunteer.
If
there needs to be
somebody needs to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even the bathrooms, you know, it's not the bathrooms are so.
Okay.
But, I mean, the physical restoration of the building is top notch.
It's amazing.
It's now how do we pay for it?
Right? right. Always the peace. Okay, so thank you.
No, I mean, I've talked with both Michael and Rob about this. The construction was painful.
Oh, yeah.
And the model didn't serve the town well at all. And there's a learning thing to learn about this. I'm not, you know, municipal stuff is not, you know, I don't get it totally. Mm-hmm. I know it's more complex. Mm-hmm. And you got to jump through more hoops. But they both expressed a lot of frustration with how it was handled. But it's not just the construction model, the code, you know, it's all these circumstances.
Right.
It was the perfect storm.
Right.
It was the perfect storm.
COVID, people moved here, bought old farmhouses, all the tradesmen could make money. Who wants to work for your town when you can gouge somebody else?
I will tell you one thing that kind of concerned me. Okay. The St. J. Academy was a disaster.
Oh, that really was, darn. Because they're supposed to help with the co-op. Hopefully they figured it out.
Because they didn't work enough. It was more of a...
They didn't fulfill their obligation.
Right. And not that... I don't necessarily think maybe they had ironclad obligation. I think it was, we're going to fill some class time. And what happened was... They had to get a contractor to pick up the pieces, and nobody likes to do that. And you know what? One second off topic, St. J. Food Co-op is going through the same
thing. I was just going to say that. Like, I saw
and
that.
And they're struggling.
Yeah.
You know, that's a glacial pace construction building.
And they have a lot of money. Yeah.
And the money's just blowing up.
I know.
And they're going to rely on that same thing. It's not a good match.
I'm hoping that they learn from the Danville thing and they can tighten it up.
I don't want to make suggestions because I'm not involved and people Eric put so much work into that.
Right.
But I think that's something to be aware of, that if you're going to, you know, allow students in there and they only work 1 hour and then they're out of there. And there was no continuity.
I'm thinking of my husband as a builder. He'd have a nightmare.
Yeah,
train this guy, and then he's gone.
Exactly the kind of person that would understand that would be your husband.
Yes.
Because,
yeah.
You know, the only way to keep costs low on stuff like this is to be very
efficient
and efficient.
Yeah.
If you have people 1 hour and then they go and nothing gets done and they were tearing stuff down to put wires in. And, I mean,
let's hope that the co-op has a better experience.
But in any case,
in
general,
I know.
Going forward with future
projects,
municipal stuff, I think Rob definitely feels like he'll never go with that construction management model again.
Right.
That was
of so all. If anything is like that considered, we'll have to have Rob come in and give us the load. Yeah.
It'd be better just to have a local contractor kind of oversee it, be a little bit more casual instead of all this contractual stuff and the guy
level.
Quit and he's not quit, right. And he's pulling in contractors from far away.
Oh gosh, okay, was, okay. So well, anyway, speaking of, no, that's good, thank you.
That's my bit on that.
But thank goodness they're like on the other end and now they're just trying to get their operations.
No, I'm not saying everybody's happy with the product, which is torture.
Yes, yeah. And we were catching some of that on the Planning Commission for sure. Yeah. So,
all right.
So good, thank you guys. Okay. No, thank you, Vince and Greg. And then economic planning, town plan discussion. This was our last agenda item. There's no one here for public comment. So, Greg, what do you think?
There's two things that I would like to touch on in this one. One is the old one. You know, what are we planning for? What is our economy in Danville? I mean, your town plan promotes this historic, you know, this, that. We just came out of a meeting where we're removing all the parking, mm-hmm. right? I mean, how do you have an economy in a space that, you know, I mean, I don't like cars, I like bicycles. But that being said, that's where the money
And that's
is.
What they're weighing out, the safety, the parking. I mean, you heard mm-hmm. the conversation,
Early in the conversation, David, who was very active, or I don't know who else made up on the town plan, pointed me to the recommended actions. Mm-hmm. So that is where I'm doing my research right now, mm-hmm. for sure. I'm not finding, I'm also not getting the town plan. We could get into the website for a week.
Oh, yeah, the website was struggling. And I'll make sure the recommended actions go on next month's agenda sure. Yeah.
I mean, and that's outside of the economic thing. We probably should all go through that and, you know, see what we got lined up there. And then the second one, so I'm not going to dwell on the economic tonight again, if you guys don't mind. If we can push that as well, I don't, it's really a question of the recommended action.
Okay, so we want to plug that in next month with the recommended actions, no problem.
Well, can I just say, the only, from what I'm looking at here, the main thing for the Planning Commission on the recommended actions, there's actually only one thing left, because we no longer have to do the whole renewing
road
the village center.
Right, yes.
No, it's...
Are you looking at the Excel sheet that has all the items?
I'm looking at items taken from the planning...
The town plan.
Town plan.
Yep.
Okay, recommended action. Planning Commission, continue to review and revise zoning bylaws that apply to the village centers, including identifying areas of the town most suited to business. Business development that do not adversely impact residential neighborhoods, sensitive areas, and the rural character of town.
So what Greg was actually asking is, because he was just jumping on recently, is that we've all seen in the past the whole recommended action table that Glenn had put together.
Right.
Yes. So that's the one that we were wanting to all sort of revisit and just get comfortable with, you know, who's responsible for what? What were the actions? And just look at, am I correct? Am I?
Yes.
You wanted to.
And they have dates, and some of those dates are out to 2029, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, do we want to put green, yellow, red? I mean,
And some of them we'll get to, and honestly, some of them we won't. I mean, I know, and I'm not saying
Glenn
should or
summarized
should,
that very well.
Okay, perfect.
They're goals, not deadlines.
Right. We've got aspirations. Mm-hmm. And the only other last thing that I was going to say on it is like the road classification is an example, because Keith and I drove around and he was like, okay, they've been talking about doing road classifications for like a super long time. And so I think we might make some headway. There's actually some things. This is one of the things on our list for next year, where maybe we'll get to that this time, because there are a few roads that probably should be class 3 versus class 4 or whatnot. So so I will definitely put it. I don't know if there's anything else you had, recommended actions, specifically economic plan, for next time, so we can just go through that whole thing and just be comfortable with what we're looking at.
Also, since it's under town plan, I mentioned that the Conservation Commission is redoing the refreshing the forest plans.
Yeah.
And apparently Act 171 says that in the town plan, thou shalt address fragmentation in forestry and habitat and stuff like that. So I don't know how... I'm not saying that we have responsibility to work in their space, but they may be making product that we can harvest. And nice maybe pun. It might behoove us to communicate expectations.
Yeah, Vange and I can I'll connect with Vange, and maybe they could come in and we can hear from them and talk to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first I've ever heard of Act 171, but apparently it's forced habitat.
Yep.
Defragmentation or you know, corridors and stuff like that.
And that's also going to come into Tier 3 with some the Act 181.
Yeah. See, I say that. I believe in it.
It's good. Exactly. It's really good. We need it. So, okay. So then I'll make sure I connect with Vange. Maybe we could have the Conservation Commission in just to have some conversations about that.
Or vice versa. Their first meeting is October 6th. The county forester is going to be there.
Oh, yeah, you shared
you know,
that.
If we want,
you share that with just me and Vange? Did you not share that with them? No, can you share that with the whole crew?
I blast all these guys enough already.
Can you share? Are you guys open to that?
I mean, if maybe we might have some future land use map questions that he would love to field for.
Yeah, a little bit late.
But more importantly, not to change, okay, but just what is his perception?
Oh, gotcha.
What does he think the value or risk is?
Okay.
So that's October 6th, first Monday. It's always the first Monday.
Mondays, okay, yep.
They're reviewing the forest management plans for the town forest.
There's two town forests, right? There's Pumpkin Hill and there's Rogers, which is another question about town plan. Do we want to, I'll come around. Messinger's is a 500-acre
amazing
forest. It's amazing. Not town land. We want to add that when we start talking about fragmentation and Act 171, you know. So I have that listed as
a question, because that was rural conservation. That's owned now by the Fairbanks, right? Yeah.
So they'll have a big forest view too.
Gosh,
and what can we harvest out of there?
Yeah.
So what was your question again? We're saying that
I was just wondering what it was specifically related to the town.
Forest
lot.
Yes.
So they actually logged, they timber harvest Rogers lot just a bit ago. Mm-hmm. So that plan has had new activity in it. They're concentrating on the pumpkin.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah. So
good.
If people can't make it, I can pass along.
Yeah, I'd like to try to make that one for sure. But if you could share it with us via email, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
And did you say they had some dwindling numbers too? Like they need a little bit of help?
For sure.
Okay.
Right. I mean, they've been very much emphasizing recreation trails.
Yep.
Which might have alienated some of their
conservation.
Their forestry majors and stuff like that. So. I mean,
I love it. So, okay, good.
All right.
We're all good.
Were
you adding something in?
You said something really interesting, said it before, which is road
classification.
Classification. Why are you saying those words? Is that our responsibility?
It's one of the actions in the town plan that's been there for 15 years, 20 years.
That this commission shall.
I think it's us. Yeah, I'd have to double check. I haven't. Keith and I drove around a long time ago, but
review classification of town roads and town maintenance responsibilities with the road foreman and recommend a level of service policy to the select board.
Is that planning commission, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Keith and I started that process.
That's like an application from the select. That's usually
they're like, you guys deal with it. But you know what?
The road.
You should take a ride with Keith. Maybe we should all take a ride with Keith because it's absolutely hysterical to hear
Keith,
his story. He has really good ideas. Knows it. He just needs to have the conversations to translate it into what makes sense for the select board to consider. But in and out, he's the one.
Is this about zoning bylaws?
No, it's about maintenance, essentially.
It's about maintenance.
Snow plowing.
So,
who's maintaining the road? Who snow plows the road?
I think in particular, that has to have to do with class four.
Class four to class three. Because there's some that totally should be class three, like on some of the roads we looked at. There's some areas near Joe's Pond that they, you know, he helps them out with some coverage. But he's like, you know, picture getting a snow plow down here when you got cedar trees, like right here, and a fence, like right here. You know, so there's.
What is this? What does this look like? Like, Let's talk about it. Like, let's make sure.
Well, let's get it on an agenda item. Can I? Well, there's not a. Yes, we should do it.
Well, let's organize it well.
Okay.
Let's do a good job.
But I would say that, we have a few priorities. Keith and Glenn and I have already started the conversation so that I can then bring it to you guys and we can go through this. But I can put it for some more conversation. What do we have going on for next agenda?
If I may just interject for just a half a second, you get Keith Gadapi in the room.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to tell the top of his head
of
what should be.
Totally.
And 99% of that is going to be perfect.
Oh, yeah. He knows.
So
told the story probably 20 times.
It's interesting to see him in the select board. He has the answer.
Right.
He's seen the wrong answer happen over the last 10 years as a road foreman. He has the answer. But he can't. He'll kind of.
He
poke,
needs the
he'll,
people.
He can't. It's not his job to say it.
Right.
Say
but we'll,
to say
what needs to happen
to develop policy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, he's there. He's
policy
on the executive.
The select board's decision.
The designation of classification of roads.
Like if we say this class four should be class three, it has to go to select
advice board. That he can't.
And here's the other thing. There's a financial repercussion for the change of any one of these roads.
Oh, yeah. To go from class four to class three is...
And we're right at that point in time where a lot of people are developing out on class fours, and there's pressure to...
It's always been the case. Yeah. Well, people start building off with the understanding that
they're responsible.
They're responsible, and then it doesn't work.
Right.
And then you get successive landowners.
And Keith is a very nice guy. I mean,
especially when you're in the class.
But guys, if you don't mind if I rein it in, obviously there's a lot to talk about here, so if you don't mind if I just rein it in, and I will definitely add it so we can start the conversation, and if there's time, I'll see if Keith could come talk to us, because he's got a lot of great input. Yeah.
You could end up with a very solid finished product, 80% done with one sit
down. You get stuck in the middle a lot, because, he's got to deal with the public, irate public.
Exactly.
And it really puts him in a tough position. So then he's looking for guidance from the other end to say, hey, sorry, this is what is.
And he doesn't want to leave people hanging when they're dealing with, an issue that he could fix like that.
Big tree thing, and it's just one thing.
Right. So we'll have him in at some point. I'll check his schedule. Yeah.
I want to know what our job is. Like, when we're done with this, what is in our hand? What is it called, and whom are we giving it to?
A road classification suggestion.
What is it instruct, enable,
suggest,
codify, suggest?
Consider, Okay, so that's interesting to David. That's good. David's we're going to crank this out by December. And they've been waiting for 15 years.
Talk about, which is the non-conformance of the solar field developer and the planting of trees along.
We need to follow up with that.
Is that are we the body to act, write a letter to the...
Yeah, we could talk to Dennis.
To the... I don't know, the Public Utility Commission?
Well, yeah, the PUC, but it would also be, there's compliance officers, enforcement officers with Act 250. So there is an act, but I think the conditions, I don't know if the conditions for the tree came from Act 250 or PUC. So whoever set the conditions, which we can look into, then we would know who could enforce that. And we could easily put a letter together.
It's not like we're going to enforce it.
We just have to contact.
Make an inquiry, what's going on? Because I know it's the same thing. But we're in a shitstorm this year in terms of planting, so you know that's what they're going to say.
Right.
Okay, we got to get through.
Too dry. Thank you. We can look at that, yes.
But you're right, I saw that too. I mean,
enforcement is an interesting space. I mean, we've got speeding that the town is struggling. We have parking, which the town, if it wants to do parking, is going to have to enforce parking. They just barely made an ordinance, but there's no one to enforce.
Did you see the guy from the sheriff's department sitting in the
island? And then there's zoning.
Yes,
we don't have to do anything. I predict. I haven't done it. I'll go online. Maybe I should volunteer.
Okay, what are you saying? Yeah.
You said you did it, or you would review it. I think you said that.
About which one?
I will go review the documentation for the Certificate of Public Good.
Perfect.
That these people acquired.
Thank you.
And I think they're on the hook.
Yes.
I think the PUC will take action against them.
That was actually my action item.
Do you want to follow? Okay. Yep. So one of you, who wants to claim that?
Help me. Please help me. Save me from myself.
My job.
Can you check that then?
It was like yesterday, though, sitting in that meeting, and they're showing us pictures of what different trees and what models they're going to get. And my
they're going to have layers. So that one thing is at one point, and then.
Yeah, the gradual succession.
So I have the PU.
All right, so guys, I think we should probably call it a wrap. Yep. So no public comment, and then okay, I'm closing. Everyone's in consensus to be closing the meeting. Okay, 9:11. I'm closing it. Thank you.
All right, you can tell that it's getting darker.